Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
Produced by the iLab at WBUR, Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. We don't always think about the privilege of human touch and of being able to hold another person's hand while we're walking down the street. But Nicole Dennis Benn and her wife have thought a lot about that. She writes about their experience in her essay, Who's Allowed to Hold Hands? It's read by Alicia Keys. Alicia is a 15-time Grammy Award-winning artist. Her new single is called Show Me Love, which Alicia calls a meditation on the simple, powerful magic that comes from being lost in love.
On our first date, I dared to give her a lingering hug on a crowded subway platform on West 4th Street. An unusual display of physical affection on my part, which I blamed on the wine. It was the start of spring, the city in bloom. Charmed by the hug, she agreed to see me again. We wandered the city, strolling through the Upper West Side in Harlem. Smiling her shyest smile, she told me she dreamed of living in Harlem and starting a family after finishing graduate school. I began to visit her at her studio in Washington Heights, where we would spend hours. She would make us dinner, mostly pasta sprinkled with Parmesan cheese, the only thing she knew how to cook. We spent evenings watching CNN and debating politics, whether or not Obama would win the election. By the time she laced her fingers with mine and kissed me as we sat crisscrossed on her carpeted floor, our mouths reeking of garlic and tomato sauce, it felt like we had known each other all our lives. During one of our evening strolls, our hands brushed together. It never crossed my mind until then to hold hers in public. I felt a thumping in my chest when I did. She took my hand without question or pause, as if she expected it. It felt so right. No one blinked an eye. Then one sultry day that summer, I felt comfortable enough to lean in and kiss her in Central Park, where we were sitting on a beach towel. I never knew something inside of me was transforming until the L word slipped from my lips and she smiled. I wasn't always like this. I hadn't been around displays of affection growing up. My stepfather and mother were in love, but showed it only with a subtle smile across the room or a vague innuendo that passed as swiftly as a breeze rustling the mango trees. At 17, I moved to the United States from Jamaica, where I had felt as if I were the only lesbian in a country in which police turn a blind eye to mob violence against gays and sex between men is punishable by law. When I arrived in New York City and had the opportunity to date women, I was still glancing over my shoulder. At first, I kept my romantic affairs with women casual, never getting too invested. Though I was out about my sexuality, I never felt the need to display affection in public. But when I met my future wife, things changed. We wanted to hold hands everywhere. We kissed goodbye on the subway and put our arms around each other in the theater to keep warm. This might seem like nothing for a straight couple, but I've noticed that there's a strange hierarchy of hand-holding that dictates who gets to express physical affection without repercussions. For straight couples, it's fine, of course. For white gay couples, it's a little less fine. For black lesbians like us, it can feel like a radical act. 2 years into our relationship, I convinced her to move to Brooklyn, where I had been renting. Bedford-Stuyvesant was more affordable than her Harlem fantasy. We also fit easily into the scene on Fulton Street, with its mostly African-American and Caribbean population. A place where the bass of dancehall and reggae merged with hip-hop and old-school R&B. A place where one can smell curried goat and jerk chicken alongside fried chicken and catfish. A place where summer months mean block parties, people watching on stoops, and strolling through the neighborhood to another backyard barbecue. A seemingly urban utopia populated by well-dressed transplants and those born and bred in the do-or-die. But I would soon learn that it's one thing to be black and lesbian in this urban utopia, and another thing to act on it. The man was no taller than 5'7", yet he seemed to hover over us with shoulders spread like the wings of a falcon. In his eyes were the flames he swallowed, his pupils hardened into something we couldn't break. "No Rasta woman do that," he said with a sneer. He gestured wildly at us with our dreads, our hands intertwined, me in a summer dress and her in cut-off shorts and a tank top. Surely he was not talking about our outfits, but the fact that we were holding hands. He flung his condemning words into the sudden soundlessness of busy Fulton Street. This happened to us many times since moving to Brooklyn, but this time stood out because of his insistence on causing a scene. My wife glared at him. "Only cowards pick on women," she said. He came menacingly close and repeated his words. But before my wife could say anything more, I tugged her arm and I said, "Just keep walking." My chest tightened and I felt helpless, reduced to a position of surrender, like I would have been back home. Gone from my mind in that moment was the fact that I was on American soil. I may have been able to flee the intolerance of my homeland, but it turns out that intolerance moved to New York City, too. Now there are times when my wife and I walk out of our building without reaching for each other's hand, already too weary of the reactions we may get, too weary of the gestures or the comments that may ruin a night or an entire day. Some Jamaican men seem to take it as a personal affront to their manhood when they see us together. After we pass, they spit words at our backs like chewed-up cane husks, sodomites. From the sides of my eyes, I can see them adjust themselves, getting ready to rise from their squatting positions and haul themselves onto soapboxes. I squeeze my wife's hand, chilled by the hostile stares, angry that I let them get to me. "We're married," I remind myself, holding on tighter, my wedding band pressing uncomfortably into my flesh. By the time the man with the loud mouth hovered over us, I'd almost given up fighting. Days before, we had encountered another black lesbian couple. We knew them. They're part of the large yet still mostly familiar population of black lesbians who seek asylum in Bed-Stuy because of its affordability. When the couple saw that we were holding hands, they said, "You two are brave. We don't hold hands around these parts of town." While a white lesbian couple could walk holding hands or even tongue kiss in the middle of the street, lesbians of color, particularly black lesbians, have a hard time doing the same. I felt outraged when this became more apparent to me. As an open femme who can pass as straight, the ultimate trigger for men who have a hard time accepting that women like us are out of reach. The fact that we could not openly love each other as black women without some men presuming ownership of our bodies shook me to the core. Something had to give. I had not left a homophobic country to continue living in fear in America. But on that bright evening, as the man lambasted us on a street corner, I relapsed and pulled my wife away. "You don't know what he's capable of," I snapped, surprised at my words and ashamed that I turned my fear into rage toward her. But I did not want to lose the woman I loved to someone who appeared to have nothing to lose. I clenched my teeth to steady my words. I I could hear my heart pounding between my ears. Meanwhile, the man stared us down. He shook his head, baffled, our public display of love appearing to cut him deeply, causing rippled lines across his dark forehead. "My girl," he whispered with a hint of possession, of familiarity. "How can you embrace that lifestyle?" He clutched his chest in pain, looking at me as though I was the one who needed to be reasoned with, as though I had lost my mind in this foreign land with this foreign disease. "You know better." That evening, my wife and I walked home without holding hands, and I never felt so robbed. I became angry at the world, at myself, at my wife. I grew so angry, in fact, that I could not be angry anymore, especially when I realized that I could destroy our love with my pent-up rage. Walking down the street, holding my wife's hand, is perfectly normal, I told myself, and I have become determined to fight for this love and our freedom to express it. Gays and lesbians before us fought for this, and we would too. We would dare to find a home, our place, on Fulton Street, as we have found a home in each other.
That's Alicia Keys reading Nicole Dennis-Benn's essay, Who's Allowed to Hold Hands? We'll catch up with Nicole and her wife Emma after the break. Nicole Dennis-Benn's essay was published 2 years ago, in 2017. We caught up with both Nicole and her wife, Emma, and Nicole told us that her essay came from a place of great frustration.
My wife and I would be walking down Fulton Street or East Flatbush Avenue, places where we call home. But the one thing that made us stand out was our love for each other. And so it's like being forced to hide a part of yourself to be accepted in the place where you call your community. Like, you know, you're claiming that place, but it doesn't really claim all of you.
Nicole says that part of the reason she wanted to claim Brooklyn as her home was because she had seen so much homophobia growing up in Jamaica.
I grew up knowing that if I came out, I would be ostracized, right? I grew up, you know, seeing people beaten and murdered back home. This was in the 90s, right? I mean, of course, things have been changing. But at the time, growing up in Jamaica, that was what I experienced. And when I left Jamaica in 1999, in addition to wanting upward mobility as a Jamaican working class woman, I left because I was coming out to myself as a lesbian. I looked to America as that place that would give me that freedom to love the way I want to love. And so to now come here and to experience everything that I feared I would have experienced back home, that was also very disappointing to me. And so that inner fight in me said, no, I'm not going to do this. I did not come to America to hide. I came to America to live.
Emma says that reading Nicole's essay was a powerful experience.
I don't know. It definitely took me to a place where I could feel the pain. Like, I could feel the frustration. And one thing in the essay that she talked about was that how it affects our relationship. How that rage that we have, that frustration, that sadness when someone tells us that we can't walk the streets freely in what we call our new home, how that then affects us. And that rage, that sadness, it has to go somewhere. And that's where it can be quite problematic.
But they didn't want to stop holding hands.
I don't want it to be like we're walking the street and people are seeing us as two sisters or two friends. You know, I've seen that happen multiple times with other lesbians of color. Visibility matters. And so for us to actually show our love and show the world, the community, that we are established as a couple, a married couple, means everything.
Nicole and Emma say that in the past few years, there's been some progress and that they've experienced fewer derogatory comments in their community than they did 2 years ago.
Perhaps the gentrification, perhaps the changing faces in our community. I'm not sure what's going on now. Or maybe they are now used to us so much so that they're like, all right, there goes the lesbians again. And, you know, just shrug us off. And so I'm wondering if the more people are seeing us around the community, the more they're realizing that we exist and we're here to stay.
I think at the end of the day, you know, that which made your essay, Boo, like, so important is that it reflects the fact that we love each other so much and we love our cultures so much. Like, I love being African American. My wife loves being Jamaican. I mean, you just can't take that away from us. And so we want to love each other as well as we can. And we want to be a part of our communities. And we have hope. We have hope that there will be other lesbians of color who are going to walk the streets and hear less things than we heard. You know, there's still hope.
That's Nicole Dennis-Benn and her wife, Emma. Nicole is the author of Here Comes the Sun and Patsy. Emma is a professor of biostatistics. They live in Brooklyn. More after the break. Here's Daniel Jones, editor of the Modern Love column for the New York Times.
When you think about the words love and bravery, it's usually about being brave enough to be vulnerable with another person. And Nicole, in her essay, is a really a different kind of bravery. It's, are you going to be brave enough to show your love to the world if the world, or at least in this community, disapprove of that love and make you feel frightened? But what a sad commentary that she lays out this hierarchy of who is allowed to hold hands. Speaking of hierarchies, it's sort of a hierarchy of bravery to the nth degree that they are going to express their love in public and say, this is who I love, and we're going to walk down the street together expressing that love.
And here's Alicia Keys.
What I liked about this essay was I love the honesty of it. I love the everydayness of it. Obviously, I'm, you know, from New York, born and raised, so I know these streets. I know what she's talking about. And I thought that I related to it very much, just from one human being to another, experiencing life and experiencing these oppressions that become these subtle ways that we all have to self-protect. I think sometimes others don't even realize how that might be affecting the person that, you know, their judgment is directed towards. And so I found this to be a really human story. And my song, Show Me Love, one of the things that I've always been thinking about in regard to that song is how much, no matter who we are, we all just want one simple thing. And that is to be shown love. Like, we all just want to be able to be who we are without having to twist and contort to make somebody else feel comfortable. And I felt like this was a beautiful representation of that exact sentiment.
Thanks again to Alicia for reading this week's essay. Her new single, which you're hearing right now, is Show Me Love. Thanks to Universal Music Publishing Group for their permission to play some of Alicia's latest music. Modern Love is a production of the New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Caitlin O'Keefe. Original scoring and sound design by Matt Reed. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Additional help this week from Catherine Brewer and Paul Vikas. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times and advisor to the show. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Special thanks to Julia Simon, Anya Stremian, and Mia Lee at the New York Times. Additional music, courtesy of APM. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. By the way, my other job is hosting an NPR show called On Point. Check it out in your podcast feed. I'll see you next week.